Hello, welcome to the Tuesday, October 20th, 2015 edition of the Sands and Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and today I'm recording from Bentonville, Arkansas. Didier got an interesting post on how to possibly recover some files that were held hostage by ransomware. In his particular case, it looks like maybe the image that he recovered wasn't completely encrypted yet. But in this case, by looking at the entropy of the file, he was able to identify that this file was actually not yet encrypted. And by adding a standard JPEG header to the file, he was able to recover the image. With ransomware, like with any kind of encryption technology, if a file is well encrypted, it will be random. So files that are not random are likely not encrypted. And Didier has a little Python script that will try to determine the randomness or the entropy across a particular file. And Facebook announced that it will warn users that it believes are under attack by nation-state attackers. If Facebook does detect an attack that it associates with nation states, then the next time the user logs in, the user will then be advised to set up two-factor authentication for their account. Now, it's not really clear how Facebook is identifying these attackers, but probably by either linking the methods to attacks seen in the past, or maybe by looking at particular sophisticated or aggressive attempts to breach a user's account. And Yahoo is undertaking an interesting experiment trying to get rid of traditional passwords. Now, we have seen a number of sites implementing some form of two-factor authentication where you use a traditional password and then in addition enter a one-time password, usually some form of numeric token. Now, Yahoo's approach is so far different in that it eliminates the password and uses a token or a one-time password as only factor in order to log in to the account. Essentially, the assumption here is that passwords as used in particular by consumers do not provide any meaningful additional security in addition to a hardware device. They, of course, implement it as a app for your mobile device. Not clear what will happen if you lose the device. You may with that lose the token and someone else may be able to sign up as you. They do have some recovery options, usually via phone or recovery email addresses if you do want to register a new token. So overall, really, they kind of gave up on passwords and switched to a token-only system. Overall, the password, I think, would still provide a good additional layer of security, in particular in order to protect the user in case the device with the token is lost. At this point, it really just relies on the user setting up some kind of passcode in order to log into the device, not necessarily to just access the token. And software analysis company SourceDNA found an interesting method that has been used in numerous iOS applications to exfiltrate private data in violation of Apple's policy. Essentially, what happened here is that these applications did include an SDK, a software development kit that did implement a number of private APIs that then, for example, sent things like the user's Apple ID, the email address, and a list of installed applications to the creator of this particular SDK. Now, typically, Apple does not allow any private APIs to be used in Apple applications, but in this case, the developer did bypass this restriction by essentially creating the strings that identified the function names dynamically, so they didn't show up when you initially run the application and only show up then later with extended use of the app. Interesting little bypass, and allegedly Apple had to remove about 250 application from the App Store that used this SDK. The applications did target foremost the Chinese App Store, so Chinese users are most likely to have installed one of these applications. And well, this is it for today. So thanks again for listening and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.